The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 31st, 2023 edition of the National Intel Report. I am your host for this Tuesday, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, the title for this evening's broadcast, Climate Change and the Propaganda They Rearrange. Now, before I bring on my special guest to discuss in depth the climate change narrative, I want to make a quick announcement, folks. You can now contribute to RBN by the purchase of a terahertz wand and enjoy its benefits. And when you purchase, if you click add a note, you can type in your favorite host and they too will receive a contribution. Now, the same holds true for any other product on the website, all of which are natural and amazing products, and more are being added on a regular basis. So if you click learn more on the wand, it will share in great detail the benefits as well as the specs. It's a win-win for everyone, folks. Oh, and one other thing. Animals have amazing instincts, and they don't lie. I want you to click on the video titled Animal Instincts and watch how my daughter's cat, Oreo, who hates water, by the way, reacts to a bathtub of water that has been treated, i.e. wanded. She now sleeps with the terahertz wand. She's such a little hussy. And now back to the broadcast. James Perloff is author of The Shadows of Power, an expose on the Council of Foreign Relations that has sold over 100,000 copies, and two books about the evidence against Darwin's theory of evolution, including Tornado in a Junkyard. He wrote for the New American Magazine for nearly three decades, folks. His 2013 book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, is a comprehensive primer on the New World Order, supplemented by his 2019 book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw. And in 2020, he published COVID-19 and the Agendas to Come, Red Pill, which was Amazon's number one bestseller in the category of respiratory diseases until they censored it, refusing to give any specific reason why, no surprise there. And his latest book, published in November, is a spiritual one, Missing Saints, Missing Miracles. His website is jamesperloff.net. And he is on Twitter and Gab as James Perloff. And by the way, he penned a recent article posted on the RBN website for your review titled Eat the Bugs, Climate Change and the War Against Humanity. Welcome to the National Intel Report, James Perloff. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you, Michael. It's been a few years since you and I were on the air together on RBN, but we haven't done it before.
Yes, we have, and the last time I had you on, we were talking about the history of television, and I was absolutely fascinated with that interview, James, because as we know, when they first started this out, television sucked everybody in with all of these gracious programs that were all about family and how to raise your children, you know, and Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver and all that stuff, and it just kind of degraded from there going downhill up until we see what we see today, which, by the way, James, I don't even own a TV anymore, and I haven't for years.
Those are all by design. Yeah. All by design. Very clever plan that is, you know, actually above the intelligence of men. This is like a spiritual battle we're in, and you know, it wasn't just men who figured that thing out about television and how to suck people into to buying the TVs and the belief that TV would ever teach their children good morals.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, and you know, I have to tell you, I ran across, I believe you sent me an email back on the 20th of January, that article you penned about eat the bugs. And of course, as you know, James, and you know, I'm not telling you anything that you're probably not light years ahead of me, but all of this ties in. Eat the bugs, Klaus, and we call him now Klaus Anal Schwab, okay? But all of these events that are kind of coalescing in this day and age, it all revolves around basically the Great Reset. But before, you know, build back better. But before you can build back better, you have to first tear down everything that was built before. But tonight we're going to get into the whole itinerary behind the climate change issue. And where did you want to? Did you want to start with something specific, or should I throw it out there?
Well, I actually want to talk about why I decided to focus on climate change, and it's because the deep state and the World Economic Forum decided to make that currently, I stress currently, their main agenda. Now, for almost 3 years, they've been hitting us with COVID, 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 and they haven't forgotten about COVID. Let me stress that. They're still pushing for vaccine passports and booster shots, but all of a sudden, they made their main focus climate change. And as we'll see in tonight's conversation, climate change, like COVID, is designed to take away your freedoms, everything from the type of car you drive to the type of food you eat. And it's all like COVID is based on fake science. So there's a lot of similarities. But there was a video, and I embedded it in. It's just all the videos in my blog post are very short. They're 1 to 3 minutes. Some are just 20 seconds long. But there's a clip from a guy at the World Economic Forum of this January saying that America cannot be number one, China cannot be number one, Europe cannot be number one, climate must be number one. This, he says, is a driving force that must be behind globalism, in other words, world government, which I've been writing on and since my 1988 book, The Shadows of Power. We didn't know back in the 80s we're going to use, you know, medical pretexts and environmental pretexts to bring about the new world order. But that's definitely what they've done. And for right now, climate change holds center stage. And I said to myself, okay, if they're going to make climate change their new number one agenda instead of COVID, because I did write a book on COVID in 2020, but I said, okay, I'm going to make climate change my number one rebuttal right now. So if people go to my website, jamesproth.net, and they see the article, Eat the Bugs, just click on blog and that'll come up first. It looks like it's a long article. I don't want that to intimidate people. Most of it is not text. Most of it is graphics and extremely short videos, 1 to 3 minutes, some less than 1 minute, because I know that people don't have time for long videos.
Right. Well, and for the sake of the audience, folks, I believe Mike, the engineer, I sent him a note to go ahead and post this on the RBN website for your review, folks, so you can go ahead and take a look at that. But there's something I just got a note that is posted now on the RBN website. So, and I've gone through the whole thing, looked at all the videos, and it's fascinating. And it's almost kind of a parody, if you will, because they've been talking about this for so long, and this is why I posed the title Climate Change in the Propaganda They Rearrange, because originally there was going to be a big freeze back in the 70s, and they shifted that to global warming in the 80s, and now it's just climate change, right? But I wanted to address something specifically, James. As just a couple of minutes ago, we were talking about they have shifted the narrative, the focus right now to climate change. And as we know, experience in the past couple of years, it's been all about the COVID and the vaccines and the masks and the, you know, the social distancing and all that shit. In your mind, James, is this the magician, you know, saying, look over here while they're doing something else over there? Are they taking the focus away from the pandemic at the time because all of this information is now being exposed? For example, James O'Keefe just came out with a bombshell video where they expose was the Pfizer executive for gain of function.
Right.
Yeah. And so my question to you are they playing the magician's trick and trying to deviate us away from focusing on that and talking about climate change to just kind of, you know, focus us in a different direction? Or what's the real reason?
Well, they may go back to pandemics as their number one agenda. You know, Bill Gates keeps talking about pandemic number two. At this very time, though, they're focusing on climate change, and it's very similar to COVID in that they want to restrict our freedoms, the freedom to drive the car, kind of car we want, to use gas stoves, what kind of food we eat, how far we can travel. There's definitely more than a distraction involved. They're definitely pushing climate change. And it's interesting, this shift from COVID to climate change occurred in late July. And in my article, Eat the Bugs on jamesperloff.net, I have a video. I have to, you know, thank other people for putting together these videos. This woman put together a video that showed that late July, in the span of 2 days, all of a sudden, the narrative shifted to climate change. And let's see, just to give you an example. Hold on just 1 second here. You know, they have a Sunak, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the new Prime Minister, in the mainstream headline saying, quote, climate change will ravage our planet without urgent action. And you'll see this headline, which I have a screenshot of in my article, as well as Macron announcing a climate change police force for France. And of course, Sunak and Macron, along with Trudeau of Canada and Gavin Newsom of California and Merkel of Germany and Jacinda Ardern, the retiring Prime Minister of New Zealand, have all been through Klaus Schwab's Young Global Leaders Forum, you know, which didn't really come into our awareness until a couple of years ago, that all these politicians were following the exact same narrative because they'd been indoctrinated by Klaus Schwab's Young Global Leaders. And I think that one thing that happened, you know, when COVID took over as the narrative, I believe that one of the reasons that they thought they could get away with that was not just that they were worried about people awakening, but they realized that they had achieved monolithic control over both the media, which in America is controlled by just five corporations now, and the politicians. You know, of course, there'll be an occasional exception like Rand Paul, but they realized they had monolithic control over the world's politicians, monolithic control over the media. So when people turn on the TVs, they see the newscasters on CNN and MSNBC and all the politicians saying the exact same thing. And this creates the big lie phenomena. You know, the big lie is that if you hear something often enough, you'll think it's true. And let me give you I did give another example on SGT report yesterday, but I'll give you a different example now.
Okay.
When I was a kid in the 1960s, they used to have a show called Candid Camera. You might be familiar with that.
Alan Funt.
So on Candid Camera, one of the tricks they played, they on a city street, they put up signs that said backwards zone. And they hired a number of actors, and when they photographed them as they walked up to the sign that said backwards zone on the city street, they would turn around and walk backwards. But they also photographed a large number of people who were not actors, who, seeing the other people react to this backwards zone sign, would start walking backwards. And even there was one woman who scolded her child for not walking backwards. Now, this demonstrates the absurdity of what people will believe is true if they see enough other people doing it. And this is the phenomenon of the big lie. There are other examples I could give you, but this is what happens when people are blue-pilled and only listen to their TV sets. They could introduce any new narrative, whether it was the lies of COVID or the lies of climate change, they will introduce a new narrative, and people will believe it because every politician who has been bought and every newscaster who has been bought will read off their teleprompters and say the exact same thing. So this is what's going on with climate change right now. It's actually pretty dangerous. And I want to talk about several aspects of that, probably starting with whether or not climate change is real.
Okay, let's do that in just a moment. But I want to take you back just for a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And this late July flip from the climate change, from the COVID narrative to the climate change. My question to you, James, was there any specific event that unfolded during that particular 48-hour period in time that would cause them to make a decision to do that, or was that pre-scripted that they were going to do that anyway? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I would think that to get that many news stories out in 2 days would require pre-scripting. But that's a great question. And actually, Michael, I have to say, honestly, I didn't think about that. Was there a reason why they picked late July? Was it perhaps the exposure of vaccine side effects, which they're now blaming on climate change? In my web post, I have a number of mainstream headlines which claim that sudden death, blood clots, strokes, and heart attacks are occurring because of climate change. So it might be the fact that there'd been sort of a peak awareness of the impact of the vaccines that caused them to switch. But I don't know. You know, to know that, and truthfully, you'd have to be sort of a fly in the wall at the home of the Rothschilds and Klaus Schwab's home to hear what they're discussing. I don't know why the late July is the particular time for that shift. Great question, though.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, no, that's great. But, I mean, you know, you were talking about, yes, they shifted gears, and then they turned around and they released this controlled media, all these articles about blaming the vaccine side effects and other woes on climate change, which is, to me and you, James, it's a complete absurdity. But going back to the old candid camera example that you gave about getting people to walk backwards, the dumbed-down mind of media, which is programmed in all of these TV shows and all of these sandwiched-in vaccine commercials that they say, ask your doctor if Paxil is right for you. All of this stuff ties in part and parcel with that, James. Yeah. So this is what they've been doing. I am assuming now, since I don't watch TV, sir, but I'm assuming they've been doing that ever since. Am I right in that?
Well, they've been doing this for a long time. They've been pushing their narratives for decades now, and they've had control of the media for a long, long time. You know, back in 1937, in his book America's 60 Families, Ferdinand Lundberg, great financial writer for the Wall Street Journal and other financial journals, had a chapter in his book, America's 60 Families, called The Press of the Plutocracy. And he went from the East Coast to the West Coast, and he demonstrated that the richest families in America owned the newspapers and the radio stations, with a few occasional exceptions. I'd say those exceptions are gone now. But yeah, they've had control of what people are thinking for a long time. But I think with COVID, they realized they had virtually 100% control. So now they can introduce any narrative they want, no matter how absurd, no matter how illogical, people accept it, simply because that's what everyone is saying. Every newscaster, every politician.
And so it's pre-scripted. It's out on the mainstream media. Joseph Goebbels, say a lie so many times and people will believe it, which we see that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. There's only a very small percentage of the population that don't believe it. And those are the people that are enlightened through alternative media, which they're doing their best to shut down.
Right.
So, I guess that would lead us into just a quick trip, you know, to the whole subject of global warming and climate change. Is it really happening? Well, we both know the answer to that. But the way they control this, James, obviously, is by giving the money, giving the grants to the people that get on the bandwagon, and then depriving or ostracizing the people that know the truth. Am I correct in that?
That's absolutely true. And
let me save your answer for after the break. We got to break it.
Sure.
The 20 after, but continue with your answer when we get back from the break. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog, National Intel Report, my special guest James Perloff. Stick around, much more to come. It's going to get really good, folks. Be right back.
They came and took it all away. Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
To change the world, starting with one step, however small, the first step is hardest of all.
All right, folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. I'm Michael Herzog, your Tuesday host, with my special guest, James Perloff. And James, before the break, we were talking about, you know, our global warming and climate change really happening, and you and I both know the answer to that is no, but they've done an excellent job of convincing the public at large that indeed it is, especially the young generation. So go ahead, you had a I think I posed a question to you, you were going to give me an answer to.
Absolutely.
James, go ahead.
Well, I have a section on this in my blog post article on jamesperloff.net, and you know, of all the short videos I have on there, there's only one that I call a must watch, and it's John Coleman, of the founder of the Weather Channel, talking to CNN, and he absolutely blows the CNN newscaster away, and he says there is no such thing as global warming, and he gives all kinds of facts to support that, and within 2 minutes. But also in my I wish we had a video, but I don't. But you can see it on my blog post. I have a graph there from Ivor Gaver, who was a physicist who won the Nobel Prize for Physics, and he demonstrates that there has been no global warming for 20 years, and he has a graph that supports that. But if you take this is even more interesting to me. If you take a look at the bigger graph going back to 1850, you'll see that weather, this is probably related to solar cycles, weather tends to go up and down in 60-year cycles. It goes up for 30 years, the temperatures, and they go down for 30 years, but we're not talking about a big up and down. We're talking about 1 or 2 degrees overall, but it does have an impact. So in 1878, they had a massive heat wave. But then you go a little bit more than 30 years later to the Woodrow Wilson era. Of course, you had the Titanic and the iceberg, and I know there's controversy about that, but that was 1912. 1913, you had something called the White Hurricane, and I didn't even know what that was, but that's when the temperatures reached their low. And the White Hurricane was a snow hurricane that hit the Great Lakes here in the United States, and it sunk 12 ships and cost 250 lives. But then temperatures started to rise, and in the 1930s, you had the Dust Bowl that hit Oklahoma, and you know, a famous book was written about that called The Grapes of Wrath, which became a movie with Henry Fonda, all about the Okies, as they were called, moving to California. And temperatures continued to rise into the 1940s when they leveled off. And then for a 30-year cycle, they started to decline. And I will tell you that in 1969, when I was a senior in high school, we had so many snow days, they couldn't make them up. And then in the 1970s, we had reached our worst chills. And in my article, this is not my credit, but somebody else's credit, there we have pictures of Time magazine's covers talking about the coming ice age. And I've got a 2-minute clip of Leonard Nimoy. You know, he used to host a show called In Search Of, and he had a show called The Coming Ice Age. And he's saying that America will become like a complete glacier, right? And in 1978, the year he did that, we did have the biggest blizzard in New England history strike us in New England. I remember it well because I was a registered nurse in Massachusetts for 45 years. I had to work 2.5 straight shifts during that blizzard before relief could come in, you know. But then temperatures started to climb, as you would expect, for 30 years. So from the 70s to the first decade of this millennium, temperatures started to rise. And this is when Al Gore came in with his global warming narrative. And just as the climatologists of the 70s made the mistake of thinking these temperatures will go down forever, Al Gore, and I think he did this knowingly, the cycling back up of temperatures, he says, is going to be permanent. And he added a new trick to all of this. He said it was due to people. People are using too much electricity, and that's what's causing this too much carbon footprint. That's what's causing this global warming. So I remember very well in 2002, my family and I moved into a new home in Massachusetts in July of 2002. The temperature inside the house that day was 100. That's really high for Massachusetts, but that's when the temperatures were peaking after the 30-year cycle from the Arctic lows of the 70s. Oh, I should mention one thing about the 70s, right? And I was talking before about the hurricane, the snow hurricane that hit the Great Lakes. There was another hurricane that hit the Great Lakes in the 70s. And you might remember, I don't know if you remember this, but Gordon Lightfoot had a song about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Yeah. The da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Right? Pardon my voice, but that occurred in 1975.
Oh, you were great.
Right in the middle of this global temperature low. Well, then the temperature started to come up for 30 years. And so Al Gore got to preach global warming. But then the temperatures leveled off. And so Al Gore, by sleight of hand, changed it from global warming to climate change. And I'm going to predict something right now. It's a 60-year cycle. So 60 years after the 70s, in the 2030s, we're going to see temperatures go down again, and we're going to see an icy era. But you know what the deep state is going to say? Oh, thank goodness we instituted all these controls on gasoline-driven cars and eating meat, because that's why temperatures are going down, because we instituted all these controls, when in fact the temperatures will go down in the 2030s due to the natural cycle, which has been going on for a long time, of 60 years. Where temperatures go up for 30 years and down for 30 years. They're going to try and pull a fast one and say, yeah.
We got to take a break, but then we're going to a long segment, James.
Okay,
hold
great.
That thought, and I got a couple of thoughts of my own when we get back. We'll be back at 3.
Sure,
Mike Herzog, National Intel Report with James Perloff. Stick around, more to come.
Broadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
All right, folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. And, of course, my ingenious engineer has to bring in that song. And before we get back to my special guest, James Perloff, I want to make a quick point, folks. Regarding the wand, what I brought up at the beginning of the program, the website is naturalearthmedicine.com. Again, that's naturalearthmedicine.com. If you want to go in, place an order, read the specs, watch the video of Oreo the cat, go ahead and do that. Now, a couple of points, James, that I want to make before we get back into this. Number one, 1978, that Leonard Nimoy thing. Excuse me, sir, but did you live in the Northwest at that point in time, James?
I was in the Northeast. I've been in the Northeast most of my life, still am.
Okay. I survived the blizzard of 78 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But the other point, so I'm very familiar with how it was terrible back there at that point in time. There was snow drifts as higher up than the house. And my then wife right. and I actually had to hike over those mountains just to get to the grocery store. But the other thing is, you had mentioned Al Gore as the guy that changed global warming to climate change, but he's the same guy that said he invented the internet. Can he be responsible for changing this, James? I mean, seriously, was it him?
Changing, you mean our perspective on it?
No, just changing the term global warming to climate change. Was that?
I don't know. Actually, that's a great question. I don't know who actually invented the term climate change, but he was one of the persons who at least used that switchover to account for the fact that temperatures were no longer rising. That was provable. And now I guess the question would be, is there climate change? Now, in my article on my blog post on jamesperloff.net, we got a graph. It's from the Center for Research on the Epidemiology of Disasters, and it shows global and weather disasters from 2000 to 2022. And it's interesting, in the year 2000, there were more global disasters. We're talking about floods, hurricanes, droughts, et cetera, right? There were more in 2000 than in 2021 or 2022. There's slight variations from year to year, but there's been no net increase. What has increased is the media coverage. And what they're doing is they're taking every hurricane, every tornado, every monsoon, every drought, every flood, and they're building it up, and they're calling it the storm of the century. And they're saying that it's due to climate change. And they're saying it's all our fault because we're using too much carbon. And that's what's changed. The actual rate has not changed. But I do want to mention one thing that I think is, as a side note, is important, and that's geoengineering. I included my website article, an old CBS clip where they're talking to a professor from City University in New York, talking about how they can actually manipulate the weather. And I also cite a Air Force report called Owning the Weather by 2025, where they talk about using weather as a force multiplier, and they say they could even change the global climate and intensify storms. As a matter of fact, I don't know, you know, when you talk about a tornado or hurricane, it was geoengineered. But one thing I will say, and I did bring this up in the article, near these fires in California, there was one in Santa Rosa in 2017 and one in Paradise, California in 2018. These fires were completely unnatural. I just have one video clip. It's of Paradise. But you can see that although those are called forest fires and attributed to climate change, the trees did not burn. It was the houses. The houses burned to the ground. They burned level. And even the granite of the kitchen countertops, it was so hot that they melted them. And yet the trees and the leaves are untouched. That's not a forest fire. Now, I happen to be friends with someone, a research scientist who was involved with the development of America's directed energy weapons. Now, he did not complete that program, but he confirmed to me that other scientists who were involved with it said that it had been completed. So we do have such a thing as directed energy weapons. Now, I don't know if that accounts for these fires in Santa Rosa in Paradise, California. But I will say they were unnatural. Some people think they had something to do with the smart meters. You know, there's different theories on it. But I will say that they are probably amplifying weather disasters through geoengineering, which, by the way, we started seeding clouds back in the 1940s in the Vietnam War. We extended the monsoon season. That's public knowledge. You can modify the weather. So to what degree they're doing this, I really don't know, but it's clear that some events like these California fires were enhanced and then attributed to climate change.
Yeah, well, to interject here just for a moment, going back just a minute or two, when you're talking about them expounding on any tornado, any flood, blah, 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 they're making a big deal out of it, and they're all, you know, they're blaming it all on climate change, but it's nothing but a major psyop, James, because I remember seeing, as I said, I haven't watched TV in many, many years, but I will watch video clips, and I remember seeing clips back, they would show clips in relation to a weather map, you know, where a meteorologist is coming on talking about the weather, and they would show it 15, 20 years ago, they would show it all in green, and then they'd show the different temperatures, and they've changed that all now to red, for a minute. Mental picture for everybody thinking, oh my God, it's global warming. Oh, I'm all gonna die. Blah blah blah. Right. And this is all a psyop. But getting back to for a moment, the weather events being geoengineered. I watched that video clip of that. It was a couple that was driving a car, and the lady was crying. It's about an 8-minute clip, something like that. They were driving through Paradise, and yes, indeed, all of the houses, the fire department, they all burned down. but the trees were still left standing. Isn't that amazing? And so, you know, the theories are abound, but it would have to be smart meters or directed energy weapons or something that would prevent those trees from burning, would it not?
It would have to be. It's not a normal – a forest fire should burn a forest. It should be burning the trees above all, but these trees were left untouched, and it was the homes that were destroyed in the stores. So this was not a natural event, and this demonstrates that to some degree – what they're calling climate change is being geoengineered. And I don't try to dwell on it in my post, but I do refer people to certain articles and to the website Geoengineering Watch so that they can read up more on this if people are interested.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I just got a quick message from my engineer here. NASA.gov and the UN, in separate articles, attributes both the terms global warming and eventually climate change to a Columbia University geochemist named Wallace Broker. Have you ever heard of this guy, James?
Personally, I have not, but let me write down his name so I can look it up.
It's B-R-O-E-C-K-E-R.
That's okay, that's a help. I would have spelled it without the C. Thank you.
Yeah, Wallace Broker. Yeah, okay, so that'll give you some homework to do. Getting back to this whole the weather events being geoengineered, it seems like, especially in the case of the Paradise fires, you know, these fires in California, they're conforming with Agenda 2030, which is trying for whatever reason to, you know, have a mass exodus of these people leaving these towns. What are they doing with the towns now? Do you know, James? Are they rebuilding them? Are they isolating them? What are they doing with them?
I have not read about that, but I did understand that with Agenda 2030, they want to drive people into, they call them smart cities, but a better term would be concentration camps. They want to drive them into concentrated areas. You know, it's interesting. If you look at old movies from World War II, Korean War, they always tell officers tell the soldiers to spread out because, you know, you don't want to be in one place when a bomb hits you and wipe out the whole company, the whole platoon. But they want all of us concentrated into two cities, these smart cities. And I'm a little suspicious of that they intend to use this concentration of people, taking them out of rural areas into the cities in order to inflict harm upon us. I may be wrong about that.
Well,
but I believe that there's something
to it. Let me interject this, though. Let's think about this for a moment. You're probably right dead on, because when you enter in the equation, you know, the 15-minute cities and isolating you to only be able to go a certain distance, or the 5G isolated into these areas, you know, Lord knows what they have planned for us. You know, so you know, it's got to all be tied into. I mean, we can go into a myriad of different topics here about the wildfires. We can go into the, you know, chicken farms mysteriously burning, killed 100,000 chickens just here last week.
Correct.
You know, all of these food processing plants burning down. I mean, it all ties in parts and parcel to a grand scheme of the Great Reset, which, again, as I mentioned earlier, you have to tear it down before you can build it back up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's just shift gears for a moment, unless you want to add something before I continue on. I was going to ask you your opinion. Carbon dioxide, is it really a threat to the planet, James?
this is one of those absurd things. You know, it's like with COVID, they did things that were not common sense. I mean, for example, they would make people stand 6 feet apart and wear masks, even though they were healthy and had no symptoms. Now, I was, like I said, I was a registered nurse for 45 years in Massachusetts. You never did that before. I mean, if you had the flu and a fever, of course you'd isolate yourself. You'd stay in bed and eat chicken soup until your fever went down. But with global warming, it's kind of the same thing. They're suddenly saying that something which is very natural, which is carbon dioxide, is dangerous. Now, carbon dioxide, we breathe in oxygen and nitrogen, which what our atmosphere primarily consists of, and we breathe out carbon dioxide. This has been going on since mammals ever existed. It's a natural process, and carbon dioxide is a wonderful thing. It is used by plants in conjunction with photosynthesis to grow. Carbon dioxide is very natural, and yet suddenly they've claimed that this natural thing is a great enemy of mankind. And Klaus Schwab is actually talking about a zero carbon future. We'll have no carbon dioxide. This is insane. I want to mention a couple of things about carbon dioxide, which I bring out in my article. I cite references. Carbon dioxide, its molecular weight is 1.5 times heavier than oxygen and nitrogen. And since it's heavy, it's not going to float up through the atmosphere and create a greenhouse gas that envelops the Earth and causes global warming by trapping heat. The other thing that I wanted to mention about that is that carbon dioxide only constitutes 0.038% of the atmosphere. It's very tiny. It's necessary for plants, but it's very tiny. There's very little carbon dioxide, so plants need it. And in fact, Mike Adams of Natural News made this point, and I have a graphic of him there. Greenhouses actually use pumps to pump carbon dioxide into their greenhouses because it enhances plant growth. Don't you want carbon dioxide? Don't you want warm temperatures? Because, you know, the frozen tundra of Russia and in northern Canada don't produce crops. You want crops. You want food. It's the warm climates that give us this. They need carbon dioxide for us. Warm climates are good as long as there's enough water to promote plant growth. Carbon dioxide is a wonderful thing. It's part of nature like oxygen is. So it's to declare war for the World Economic Forum, to declare war on carbon dioxide, Al Gore and the World Economic Forum, is an absurdity. This has been part of life that God created from a long time ago.
Well, you know, James, I'm sorry. You know, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Al Gore, all of these minions, you know, let's throw in Nova Yuval Harari, all these people, zero carbon dioxide emissions by 2050. I mean, you'd have to be a complete idiot and have flunked out of science in elementary school to realize that if they achieve that goal, everybody, including them, would be dead.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, so that in itself would be the core issue of why this is just a massive psyop for complete control of the society. Like I said before, it all fits in with this entire agenda, and I don't know whether you have seen this. Have you ever seen that graph about the global reset and all the little pieces of the puzzle that tie in with this?
After the World Economic Forum was exposed, people started looking at their website and found that they had layer upon layer upon layer of responses to COVID, which would have taken years to develop. And yet they had this ready at the outset of COVID. And so this is a demonstration of the fact that COVID was a psyop that had been planned years in advance.
Right. And expounding on that, they had it ready. So now that we know that they had it ready all along, okay, in your opinion, did they have the vaccines ready all along when Trump put out Operation Warp Speed? Were they sitting in the freezers waiting and building the hype in anticipation of the savior vaccine to come out? Was it already there, in your opinion, James, or did they actually go invent it after the fact?
Well, I have no proof of it. I find it very suspicious that all the companies, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, all were able to complete their trials and produce a vaccine at almost the exact same time. So I think they already had it in the works. They were just waiting for an excuse, and they had to go through 6 months of pretending to go through trials in order to convince the public, because no one would believe they could produce a vaccine overnight. But yes, I believe that they had this thing waiting in the wings in order to depopulate the Earth, which if you look at what Bill Gates has said, what David Rockefeller has said, what Ted Turner has said, what so many of these, Prince Philip has said about depopulating the planet and how we need to do that. This was clearly one of their main methods for doing that. But as we go ahead to talk about climate change, we talk about particularly about famine. we will see that they have many means of depopulating the planet.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Was it Prince Charles, I believe, that said he wanted to come back as a virus, you know, for population reduction? He wanted to be reincarnated as a virus. And I find it fascinating that he used that specific term, virus, mm-hmm. as opposed to anything else. You know, but, you know, moving on here, and this next subject I want to discuss with you, it hits home with me. Because, you know, we've got this big push on, as far as the media is concerned. I drive for Uber. It's my social life, really. And I keep getting these emails from Uber offering me $1,000 as soon as I switch to an electric car, you know. And I know personally, James, the downside of an Uber driver switching over to an electric car. But I want you to expound a bit on the downsides of going from gas powered to electric cars. What is your philosophy on that, my friend?
The first thing is, you know, the Biden administration got laughed at when people were complaining about the cost of gasoline. They said you should switch to an electric car. Well, in my article on jamesperloff.net on climate change, I linked to a website that lists the current price of an electric car. I'm not talking about a hybrid, but a fully electric car mm-hmm. today costs $65,000. Who's got, in this today's economy, who's got $65,000 to spend on a car, a new electric car? On top of that, the batteries that are used in these electric cars are recharged by fossil fuels. People don't understand this. They think they're cutting down on carbon emissions. But you know, where do you think that the charging stations for electric vehicles, EVs, get their energy? It's not from solar panels. It's from coal, gas, and oil. And so you have to burn fossil fuels to create the energy for these charging stations. And it's true that the charging stations and electric vehicles themselves don't give off carbon emissions, but you're still burning as very much fossil fuels as you would have if you didn't have the electric car. So it's not saving you anything in terms of carbon. Another thing to understand is that these batteries in these electric vehicles have a short life cycle. And so if you were to resell your car to a used car buyer, an electric vehicle, a new battery would cost $10,000 or more. So your car has no resale value. But also, to make these batteries, they need rare minerals, including cobalt, lithium, manganese. And I cite articles that point out that in order to create for one battery, they need to tear up a 500,000 pounds of the Earth's surface to get the minerals, much of which is, by the way, comes through slave labor, often using children.
Isn't it true that they are actually devastating the environment in South America to do just that right now?
Absolutely true. And in Africa as well. And another thing that comes to mind, you remember, of course, that COVID put restrictions on travel. You couldn't get onto an airplane without a vaccine passport and a mask. Well, in Oxfordshire, England, that's a county of England, they've now restricted travel by people. You can't travel outside of your county without special permission because your car might give off too much carbon. Now, extending that worldwide, you can see that, you know, obviously, the right to travel is one of our basic human freedoms. But if they say that by traveling by car, you're using too much carbon, they are restricting that freedom as an excuse. And one of the things that really is worrisome, and I have a 25-second clip from the World Economic Forum, where one of their spokespersons says, in the future, we're going to have carbon trackers. Everyone will have a carbon use tracker. And I don't know if they intend people just to carry this or be embedded. I wouldn't be surprised if it was embedded, because Bill Gates has invested a lot of money in Rice School of Engineering to develop a digital tattoo, which will have your vaccine and financial records in it. And there's a company in Sweden called Disruptive Subdermals, which has developed a microchip to go on your skin, which will have your vaccine record on it. I wouldn't be surprised if your carbon usage a record also becomes subdermal with a microchip. And then when they institute their Great Reset and they have basic universal income and a system like they have in China, where people can be penalized for disobeying the government. If you use too much carbon, if you turn up your thermostat too high, your carbon tracker will track that, and you will be penalized. You will be given less money in their great financial reset. So you can see that the climate, like COVID, is now being used as a system of controlling people, of limiting their freedoms. It's very much like COVID. It's just a different. It's just a different take. It's a different switch.
Yeah, I just the question comes to mind. I wonder, if they succeed in this with these implanted chips. I wonder if this is going to apply to John Kerry, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, all these people
no,
are flying around to Davos
never.
In their multi-million-dollar jets. But take. I'm going to use Jen Psaki. Circling back for just a moment, back to these cars. The I'm not going to go into the ordeal I went through with a car salesman trying to sell me an electric car, but I did go online just to compare. I have a hybrid, and they were trying to sell me a new Hyundai Ioniq, a completely electric car. And when I went online and I looked at the cars, it looks to me like their plan, at least in that particular brand of car, is caving in, because I could find very few of my type of car for sale, but I could find an entire plethora of these electric cars for sale. It seems like they're not doing a very good job, and maybe it's because they're putting sticker prices on top of the sticker prices for the $65,000, because at least from an Uber driver's point of view, it wasn't practical at all. Me being under Murphy's Law, James, just about the time I hit an Uber surge where the prices went up, I'd have to charge my vehicle and be sitting there while all of my screen was red and all the money was going up. So at any rate, the bottom line is it doesn't look like – and by the way, one other thing I want to mention about that before we shift gears and go on to a different topic. The infrastructure itself for these electric cars, we're talking about how much earth has to be, dug up just to make one battery. But what about the infrastructure itself as far as charging these vehicles? Isn't it now currently, James, maybe like only – a gas car and having a gas station once every 50 miles or so? I mean, how is the infrastructure hasn't caught up with the push for the electric cars, has it?
Well, I would say that it undoubtedly hasn't. We have gas stations everywhere, and as expensive as gas is, it's not nearly as expensive as the cost of buying an electric car. And I think that one of the reasons they want to get rid of gas stoves and gasoline-driven engines is that Klaus Schwab has been talking about a cyber attack that would shut down the electrical grid. They want everything electric. They don't want gas stoves. They want electric stoves. They don't want gas-driven cars. They want electric cars. I think they realize that they can shut off the electrical grid with a push of a button, or an individual's home that uses electricity to punish them for, posting something that they didn't like on social media. They want to go over from gas to, we'll continue this on the other side.
All right, we'll be right back. Second hour coming up, folks. Be right back.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed. But you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.